Good morning, brothers and sisters. God calls us to worship Him, that we may come into His presence this morning to praise and glorify His name. We welcome visitors and guests who are joining us in the worship of our great and glorious God. As we enter into a new year, it is timely to consider the words of Psalm 90, where it says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. May we draw near with such hearts as God desires, and so be strengthened and enriched by the preaching of His word this morning." Consistently with the following announcements, we were informed yesterday by Reverend Ryan de Jong that he has accepted the call to become a minister of the Free Reformed Church of Southern River, set apart for the extraordinary task of missionary, recognising it as a call that has come from the Lord. This morning, as well as this afternoon, we may welcome to the pulpit Reverend W. Huizinga, Emeritus Minister of the Free Reformed Church of Armidale. Before we commence this service, let us sing from Psalm 93, verse 2 and 3.
Let us rise if we can to receive God's greeting. We confess our help is in the name of the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to God's greeting, let us sing together hymn 77, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
We pray, you are God, our Redeemer.
Let us now submit ourselves to the words of God's covenant, and afterwards let's sing from Psalm 1, stanza 2. Psalm 1, stanza 2. Whoever loves God's law with all his heart and will not from the way of truth depart is like a tree which planted by a river. And what follows in stanza 2 of Psalm 1. And let us now with all respect place ourselves under the discipline of this holy law of God, that we may test our lives on it as on the rule of thankfulness. For God spoke, and in Christ speaks all these words to us, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything, and that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let us unite in prayer and ask the Lord for a blessing. We thank you, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for this your day, a day of rest and a day of freedom. We praise you, Lord. You control the seasons in your creation. Summer has come in with a rush, with heat like an oven, and winds that are fierce. Our bodies have to get used to those temperatures again. But we thank you for the warmth. And we thank you, Lord, that in this time of holidays, we can also be refreshed. Be with those who are in holidays, refresh them, receive also their praise and worship. And now we ask for your Holy Spirit to refresh us with the showers of your word and grace. Thank you for the privilege of being allowed to assemble together to worship you. We know in many parts of this world there is a lockdown and people have to stay at home and use the internet. Thank you that you allow us to come together. And we pray, Lord, that on this first Sunday of the new year, guide us. Guide us like you led Israel through the wilderness. There was the cloud by day. There was the pillar of fire by night. You went on ahead. You led them. You guarded them to protect them from the might of Pharaoh's picked soldiers and charioteers, from the Amalekites, the marauders. And you provided for all their needs in that wilderness. Guide us in the same way, Lord. For you have placed our feet also on the way to a promised land, to a brand new world where you will live with us. But Lord, on our way we need your grace. On our own we are lost in the quicksand of our own sins, our sinful habits, and of the sneaky traps of the devil. We are sinful, and we ask for your grace. Forgive us all our shortcomings and all our transgressions of your law, which we have heard and which we have submitted to. Our society is full of materialism. Sometimes, unnoticed, there is that greed, always for something more. And Lord, it affects us too. And that's only the 10th commandment. Lord, cleanse us through Jesus Christ, who kept all these commandments perfectly in our place, and who died on the cross for our transgressions of these good laws. For we have not loved you as we ought, and we have not loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. Far from it. And therefore, we come to you in Jesus' name and ask that you look upon us in him. Thank you for all that he did in his life, and especially at the end of his life. And now we pray, bless your word as we open it. Open our hearts to your word. May the Spirit work in us and grant us the benefits of your word, whether they be warnings or promises. Guide and keep us and lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 46. The text for this morning's sermon is also the same, Psalm 46. So let's go to the Bible and to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. It has as title to the choir master, of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Thus far. In response to God's word, let us sing from Psalm 127, stanzas 1 and 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 46 speaks of the tossing and churning of the seas, turbulent oceans, with their massive mountains and valleys of waves are something with which we can identify, living so close by the Indian Ocean. In the Bible, such oceans symbolize the nations, which are always full of unrest, violence, and warfare. Will the nations in 2021 be turbulent oceans full of raging and surging? Or will they be like the Pacific Ocean, full of peace? We know about the Middle East, its unrest, suicide bombers that keep staying in the headlines for the wrong reasons. So when you think of all these things, and really Psalm 46 reflects the global scene for us quite accurately as well. Many areas remain explosive. There can be faction against faction. So really the situation of Psalm 46, as it faced what we call the political and ecclesiastical situation of its day, has many similarities with our own. Now on the church scene, we may enjoy freedom to worship God and follow the teachings of our Lord. God protects those freedoms for us. And as we face a new year, we do so with the theme of Psalm 46. Let that be our confession and certainty at the start of a new year of Sundays and festive days. So I preach to you God's word from Psalm 46 under the theme of the psalm, as it is given in two verses, let's say in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. The Lord provides help in time of need. That's our first point. Secondly, the Lord protects his own in Zion. And thirdly, the Lord of hosts is with you. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Firstly, the Lord provides help in time of need. We're still very close to Christmas. Maybe you still have some of those DVDs going. Some of those songs may still be going through your minds. For example, Isaiah foretold the birth of the Emmanuel. God is with us. King Ahaz of Judah was threatened by the kings of Ephraim and Syria. And instead of trusting in the Lord as his refuge, as his tower of strength, as this psalm says, Ahaz looked to Egypt, that broken reed, or he would turn to Assyria. Well, God offered him a sign. Ask for a sign, he says, high as heaven, as deep as the oceans. But Ahaz impiously refuses to ask for a sign. God gave one anyway. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. In the face of enemies all around them, they get the sign of the Emmanuel. God is with us. What an encouragement. And that's one example. Psalm 46 gives that general truth that the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our fortress or refuge. And please remember that God also fulfilled this prophetic sign. The virgin did conceive and bear a son who was and who is God with us. Jesus, our Lord, is God with us. And even though he has now ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand, yet as God, he is at no time absent from us. His Holy Spirit remains with us till the end of the age. God is with us. It is in this light that we should read Psalm 46. Have a Christ-centered look when you read this psalm. God has fulfilled it in Jesus, also for you. And through his cross, Jesus reconciles you to the Father. Father does not wage war against you by marshaling enemies to punish you, chastising you. Instead, God is on your side to fight for you. The cross of Jesus Christ makes all the difference. And when Jesus was on earth, all the enemies plotted against him to kill him. Pilate, Herod, and Rome united with the leaders of the Jews, with the Sanhedrin, to crucify him as rebel king. And they seemed to win. He died and was buried. And the enemy thought, that's the end. But Jesus won. By rising from the grave, God super exalted him, and by elevating him to the throne of authority and glory. And in 2021, Jesus now rules over heaven and earth. He sits there unsealing the Father's scroll of plans till the end time. And I mention this right away so that you will have abundant cause for joy as we read this psalm, because God has fulfilled this psalm. Sure, there's talk about chariots and spears and all these kind of things, but God, he will do something about that. Yes, he will make the war cease. There will come a time. There is a prophetic outlook in this psalm. Allow me to offer one example. If you fall seriously ill in 2021, to whom do you go for help? Your first reaction might be to the doctor. And I would not blame you for that answer. God has given us the means of medicine, and we should make grateful use of them. But don't forget the donor, God himself. And when we remember that, then we also call the minister and elders, that they can pray for us. Because God gives these things, and God has to bless, as we sang with Psalm 127. Psalm 46 says, God is a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Make use of that. God promises it. Signed and sealed in your baptism. Make use of it. And God has come to help you through Jesus Christ, your sympathetic high priest. He invites you to call on him in time of need. He can sympathize, but he can also give the help that you need. And in all your needs in 2021, call on God in the name of our Lord and Savior. In him, the Father presents you the counsel, the guidance, and the help you need in times of trouble. And so this Psalm 46 has a very Christ-centered comfort. Seek your refuge and very present help in your Lord. And so, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, like a bridegroom, Jesus surrounds you with his strong arms of love and protection. Even when you least expect it, he is your mighty fortress in this new year. For example, in the Bible, God offers them that. And I think of two passages in the letter to the Hebrews. And these passages are often used, let's say by minister or elders or church members, when they want to offer comfort to those in time of need. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. That's referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. That through death, Jesus might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What a wonderful comfort! Jesus overcame the devil, who holds the whip of fear of death over many nations. Just look at all their superstitions and all their rituals, especially regarding serious illnesses or death. They fear that, as this text says. Jesus frees you from that fear of death, which I think most of us mortals have. But through Jesus, we overcome it more and more. And he has paid for our sins. He's made the propitiation for our sins, so that God is no longer angry with us. And he can give the help that we need. And then this is repeated in a second passage in Hebrews, in chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, the Lord of hosts is with us through Jesus Christ. The God of Jacob is our tower of strength through Jesus Christ. Our sympathetic high priest has the power to offer the help that we need, no matter what may come upon us in this new year. He is one of us. He understands us. He knows what we go through. So you come to the throne of God to find grace to help you in time of need. The Lord provides help in time of need. That was our first point, that the Lord of hosts is with you, that the God of Jacob is your refuge. Secondly, the Lord protects his own in Zion. To appreciate God's protection, remember how God rescued Judah from the clutches of evil powers. Indeed, the psalm gives the impression as though the Lord had just recently demonstrated how the God of Jacob was with them to help and deliver them. Does the psalmist not invite us? Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. Come, behold them. So it seems that something has just happened. What was it? We're not told exactly. We do not know. Many think that enemies besieged Jerusalem. And you know, when there was a siege of Jerusalem, there was one thing that they needed. They had those cliff walls. They had high walls around Jerusalem. It was a fortress. But if you're locked in, there's one thing that you will need: food and drink. So they would have to store up food. And what about water? They had no river flowing through Jerusalem. We have the Swan River. They didn't have a river like that. Babylon had the mighty Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. So what to do? What about the water source? It could be crucial whether they could survive the siege or not. Maybe if they couldn't, they would have to sue for peace. and they would have to pay a high price. But here we're told, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And what this refers to is not exactly clear. But this psalm is very prophetic. And in prophecy, there are many layers. And when you think about the river of God, then I think back to the book of Genesis, that there was a Garden of Eden, and it was watered by a river. There are many fruit trees. And that one river, well, it divided into four. And we're even given the names of those four rivers. No wonder it was such a fruitful place. And here, there seems to be also a water source. What could it be? Well, we know that David dug further underground. And there was a pool of Siloam. There was an underground stream that they would use for water. Later on in history, you think of King Hezekiah. He knew that King Sennacherib was coming, that the Assyrians were coming. And so what he did is he stopped up the springs of Gihon outside the walls. And he had a tunnel. And he tunneled underground, underneath the cliff wall, into the area of the city, to the pool of Siloam. It was very deep, but they had a steady stream of water. And the water supply outside the gates would be stopped. None there for the enemy. That was a good precaution. And some think of that. We'll come to that. Others think, well, you've got to look further on in history, because the New Jerusalem is coming. And Jesus is going to bring a city, yet with a river of life flowing from the throne of God. And that river, like Ezekiel prophesies, and just gets wider and deeper as it goes. Strangely, but that's what prophecy tells us. And there will be the trees of life on either side of the banks of the river. That's when Ezekiel prophesies about the new temple. Yes, so when you see all these layers of prophecy, you get to realize that God is taking care of His people. He's inside the city with them. He's providing. He is protecting. And here at this stage of history, it may be that that small stream that had been opened up, that was supplying all the water they need. And in that they saw God's hand of care and love for them, that He was not going to surrender them to the enemy. The nations raged and waged war, but the God of Jacob was their refuge. And their God was stronger than those solid walls and gates around Jerusalem. God Himself was their bastion of help on Mount Zion. They were safe. God provided food and drink. Nations could boast of their mighty rivers, but Jerusalem had the Lord, and in Him all they needed. The Lord, if He wanted to, He could bring water out of flinty rock. The Lord would provide. So outside the fortifications, the nations conspired. Think once more of King Sennacherib of Assyria, who had laid low one country after another, even Egypt. Panic struck every land when he entered. They were brutal. In front of Jerusalem walls, he mocked King Hezekiah and the Lord. But thankfully, as I said, he had tunneled underneath the wall and there was a water supply. Hezekiah, mind you, didn't rely just on that. He relied on the Lord above all. And he fled to the sanctuary of prayer. His refuge was the Lord. And he placed everything before the Lord. This is what this mighty king says. He sneers at you, Lord. He blasphemes your name. You're a nothing. Your vanity, nothing, empty nothing. You cannot help us. That's what he says. Don't rely on the Lord. Don't believe what Hezekiah says to rely on the Lord. He cannot help you. And all seemed dark in the evening. But in the morning light, as the psalm says, the city saw what the Lord of hosts had done. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, that only one angel had left the heavenly legions, and he had come to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And in the morning, they saw what the Lord had done, how the Lord was with them, how he makes war cease and breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots with fire. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. God had broken the bow and cut the spear in two. And with fire he burned the chariots, which were the pride of the armies of that time. Come, invites the psalmist. Look at the desolations the Lord has wrought. Without any cooperation from Judah, God silences the earth with all its tumultuous ragings. God had thundered, "Be still and know that I am God." And for Israel that meant, "Be still. Be of good courage. I am with you." For the enemy, it means, "Be still and know that I am to be praised and not blasphemed." And this is immortalized in that famous poem, "The Destruction of Sennacherib." The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea. When the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Like the leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed, and the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved, and forever grew still. And there lay the steed, with his nostril all wide, but through it there rolled not the breath of his pride, and the foam of his gasping lay white on the turf, and cold as the spray of the rock-beating surf. And there lay the rider, distorted and pale, with a dew on his brow and the rust on his mail. And the tents were all silent, the banners alone, the lances unlifted, the trumpets unblown. And the widows of Asher are loud in their wail, and the idols are broken, the temple of Baal. And the might of the Gentile, unsmoked by the sword, hath melted like snow in the glance of the Lord. Yes, the Lord ordered the Assyrian with his steed to desist and to learn that the Lord is God. He is with his people. He bound himself with the ties of love to his people. And such an historical example, brothers and sisters, makes the psalm come alive. You could probably mention other examples, but this will do. the Lord of hosts, he is with you. And we see very clearly that he gives help in time of need. Thirdly, the Lord of hosts is with you in general. This God is your God. His august name is the Lord of hosts. The Lord is the name of the covenantal, a God who keeps his pledges. The Lord of hosts, he adds majesty and might to his name. For these hosts refer, well, they can refer to the multitudes of the stars in the sky with all their formations, their, yes, constellations. Beautiful in the night sky, majestic. He is the Lord of hosts. And those stars, they are mighty big. Certainly these beaming hosts exalt the majestic Creator. But there's more to mention when we say the Lord of hosts. The host can also refer to the armies of Israel whom he heads. Did the angel of the Lord, our Lord himself, not go ahead of the armies of Israel and command them? Yes. And even more impressive is the fact that the Lord has legions and legions of angels to fight his battles. They are the heavenly combatants. And in this case, the one we mentioned, God needed only one to defeat the armies of the powerful Assyrian. And you can think of Elijah, the prophet. Horses and chariots surrounded the city of Dothan. Enemies were everywhere. No route of escape was left open. Israel's servant despaired as he looked down. "What shall we do?" he exclaimed. Then God opened the eyes of his servant so he could see that the hills were swarming with heavenly legions of horses and chariots. Heavenly armies encamped all around Elijah to protect them from the Syrians. And he too could sing with his servant, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He surrounds you with his care and protection. He sends his angels to serve you," as the Bible says. For how do you stand up to your enemies? How do you survive this spiritual warfare, which will keep being waged in 2021? The Catechism calls them your sworn enemies. They have sworn your downfall. You wrestle not against flesh and blood only, but against the forces of wickedness in high places, as Judah discovered, behind Egypt, behind Assyria, stood the wicked one, who wanted nothing better than to destroy Israel and its seed, that the promised male seed would not come. And you will often pray, when you pray, not to be led into temptation, but to be delivered from the evil one, and that God will make you strong, not only to stand up against people, but against the evil one who uses them. In Christ, your refuge and strong tower, you will be more than a conqueror. I remind you of Martin Luther. Psalm 46 was one of his favorites, as you can guess. From it, he composed his famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And there's one point in his life, a critical point, when he was summoned to appear before all the officials of the church and all the officials of state to come to the city of Worms to answer. And all his friends told him, "Don't go. Don't go. They'll kill you. You'll never come back home." And what did Martin Luther say? "I do not fear the emperor, the cardinals, the princes, and the political leaders at the city of Worms. In fact, if the demons and the devil himself stands behind them, and if the devil and his demons number more than the roof tiles on the houses of worms, I still will not fear. I go in the strength of the Lord, for I know that He is my fortress. He is with me. And so he went, and his friends feared for him. And when he was asked to take back what he had taught, then he told them, "Show me from Scripture where I have erred, and then I will thank you for it. But if you cannot do so, then here I stand. I cannot do otherwise." You see, the Lord of hosts was with him. That made him strong, and that gave him comfort, and that made him willing to face the enemy and to stare him in the eye. And there the Lord also used his friends, for you know that for months Luther studied in peace in his refuge in the Wartburg Castle. God defended him. And though Jesus does not always protect us from the hardships and calamities of life, one thing is sure, he does defend you in the salvation which he obtained for you through the regular preaching of the word, by the use of the sacraments, by the study of his word, by the discipline of his word. God keeps you steadfast in your loyalty to his crown and covenant. And that is to the Lord's credit, not yours. And so he must remain your trust. At the beginning of every church service, as we did this morning, we use Psalm 124. And you know, it speaks about deliverance. They were caught like a bird in a snare. Enemy all around them. They didn't have a chance. But God had come to their rescue. See the desolations he has caused. And at the end of that psalm, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth." That's where that comes from. That's why I mention it. It's the same as in Psalm 46. And so many things may happen in 1 year, as they did globally in the COVID year of 2020. The same may occur also in 2021. And let's face it, we have our worries and fears as well. And we look forward to a vaccine that all of us can receive, so that this coronavirus is no longer a scare, and that the world may open up again after its lockdown. But above that, we rely on the one who can give the vaccine. We rely on the Lord himself, who has also given this for a good reason. So we cling to our confession that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, that the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our fortress and refuge. For all creatures and armies are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. The Lord, the rock, is our fortress. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will keep unsealing that scroll of God's plans. And in it are decreed woes, trumpets, and plagues. But the end is peace on a new earth, under new heavens, with our mighty God. Our elderly members need this comfort in a new year. Their frail frames mean that they often face sickness. And what gives them strength in the face of declining health? What strengthens them when the mansions in heaven summon? They know that in Christ God is with them, near them always with his strong arm of health. That gives peace, a peace that the world doesn't know about. And that's given now already, also in this new year. And when the Prince of Peace comes, I know there will be all-out war between the forces of evil and the hosts of the Lord himself. Satan and his cohorts will attack the camp of the saints as he has ever done since of old, as Psalm 46 makes clear. But Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth, and fire will come down from heaven to consume the hordes of Satan. Jesus will make wars to cease to the ends of the earth. That's what we read in this psalm. And that also has a prophetic fulfillment. He will break the bow and shatter the spear. He will burn the chariots with fire. And then that makes you think of the prophecies of Isaiah. He shall judge between the nations and decide for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord of hosts. Our King rules from on high, and he warns the nations to repent before it is too late. He did that globally in 2020 by COVID-19. He did not only do it for one nation, but for the whole world. And he will bring something good from it. Too bad that you don't hear too much about that angle. But one day he will wage defensive war against all your and all his enemies. His enemies will end up in the lake of fire, but peace and abundant life for all those whom the Father has given to him. Brothers and sisters, in 2021, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, goes with you. He is your refuge and help. Trust in him. He's brought you one year further toward the new earth. As the scripture says, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So work and pray in this faith that the Lord of hosts is with you and that the God of Jacob is your refuge. Amen. In response to God's word, let us sing together from that Psalm 46. We'll sing the stanzas 1 and 5. In our prayer, we remember that Reverend Ryan Dionga has accepted your call to become minister here, set apart for the mission work and lay PNG. We'll also remember the call extended to Reverend David Paul for the work of mission and lay. And we'll also remember our sister Nikki Kramer, who is slated to go in for an operation this week, Tuesday, for her sinuses. Let us pray together. Heavenly God, our Lord of hosts, the God who is our fortress, we thank you for your word, for its comfort. It pleases you that we should pray for all mankind, and therefore we ask, bless the spreading of your holy gospel, that it may be proclaimed and received universally, so that the whole world may know you, that they may be still and know that you are God. Enlighten the ignorant, strengthen the weak. May everyone by word and deed magnify your holy name. Send servants into your harvest. We thank you, and that Reverend Dionga has accepted the call here for his ongoing work and lay. Be with him and his family as they have a vacation also in Canada. We pray also for Reverend Paul. Grant him insight into this call for mission work so that he may know where you want him to serve. We commend him to you, Lord. We also ask, graciously preserve and govern your Christian churches throughout the world in the unity of true faith and in godliness of life, that your kingdom may come day by day. Destroy the kingdom of Satan. We know that he often stands behind the evil designs of people. That he stands behind your enemies to undo your work. We pray, cause your work to flourish, and therefore bless the mission work amongst Jews, Muslims, and heathens who live without hope and without you in this world. We pray, Father, and that you will also bless all Christian instruction and all those who are engaged in it. At this time, our schools are closed, and teachers and students may have a holiday. Bless them. Refresh them. Be with those who are on vacation. Bring them home safely, we ask. We pray for the civil government, for our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II and her house, and for our Commonwealth government, for the state governments and the local authorities. Grant that they may perform their task in such a manner that the rule of Jesus, the King of Kings, is acknowledged by them and by their subjects. And may they, as your servants, more and more oppose the kingdom of Satan, which is a kingdom of lawlessness. We pray for your children who suffer persecution. Comfort them with your Holy Spirit. Deliver them from the hands of their enemies. And do not permit the memory of your name to be removed from the earth. Do not let the enemies of your truth have occasion to dishonor and blaspheme your name. But if it is your will, Lord, if it is your will that persecuted Christians by their death bear witness to the truth and glorify your name, then comfort them in their sufferings. May they accept their trials as from your fatherly hand and remain faithful in life and death to the honor of your name. We pray for those whom you chasten with poverty, imprisonment, physical illness, or spiritual distress. May it please you to heal the sick and to restore soundness of mind to the mentally ill. And this morning we pray for our sister Nikki Kramer, that you will bless the operation that she is to undergo this week for her sinuses. We pray, Lord, guide the hands of the surgeons. Use it for her good. We pray, be a comforter unto the widowers a protector to the widows, and a father to the orphans. Show your love to the lonely, your strength to the weak, and your grace to the dying, your sustaining power to those who are bereaved, that in all trials they may yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Take us and our dear ones, Lord, into your care and keeping in this new year. Watch over our families, strengthen the expectant mothers, and grant them in your time a good delivery. Bless the bond between husbands and wives, and between parents and children. We pray, be with the singles. Thank you that they may live in a communion of saints, with family and friends. And Lord, if it is your will, grant them also a life partner. And be with those couples who do not have children as yet. If it is your will, open the closed womb. Help us in our daily work, Lord. Protect us when we travel, when we are allowed to. And bless our work for the promotion of your kingdom and for the benefit of our country. Enable us in our various respective callings to live according to your will. Utilize the talents that you give us, and so that your kingdom may come and your will be done. Strengthen us in all temptations, so that we may fight the good fight of the faith, obtain the victory, and hereafter inherit eternal life with Christ. We pray it in the name of the King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you and our Lord Jesus stay with us till the day that he comes in glory. Maranatha. Amen. At this point in time, you normally would be giving your thank offerings. This morning, the thank offerings are for the mission work in Lay P&G. You may do so at the door or do so online. Let us now stand, if we can, and sing our closing hymn, Hymn 53, stanzas 1 and 2. Lift up your hearts to the Lord. Receive His blessing and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen.